Let's foray into Nevada's wild spaces. This is a half an hour adventure with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. This is Nevada Wild.
Here on this mountaintop,
welcome to Nevada Wild, brought to you by the Nevada Department of Wildlife and 630 AM Fox Sports Radio right here in Reno. Check out our podcast at nevadawild.org, and you can also find us on iTunes. We're bringing you news, information, and discussion about wildlife, boating, and outdoor recreation across Nevada. I'm Edwin Lingar.
And I'm Teresa Malloy.
With winter in full swing in northern Nevada, many people start to think about ice fishing. We've had a lot of moisture this year, and winter conditions are favorable for many sports such as skiing, so we thought we'd take a minute to check in with Joe Doucette, Endow's conservation educator and all-around expert in ice fishing, to see what conditions are doing right now in the east and maybe shed some light on how best to go about your ice fishing trip. Joe, is that fair to call you an expert? And welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I've been ice fishing probably since I was 15, which, 40 years ago?
And you,
I grew up in the Midwest ice fishing quite a bit.
That's what I was going to say. Aren't you from some frozen tundra somewhere?
Yeah, I'm from South Dakota, so we did a lot of ice fishing up there. In fact, the ice up there generally was a lot thicker than it is in Nevada. But in Nevada, we still have places where you can go that have plenty of safe ice that you can get out on and enjoy the sport.
You know, I guess the first question and the big question in my mind is, what is it looking like right now? What are the conditions there in the eastern region and where people are most likely to ice fish?
You know, the conditions are starting to get pretty good. Our most popular lakes for ice fishing would be Cave Lake, which is down by Ely, South Fork Reservoir, which is just south of Elko, Nevada, and Wild Horse Reservoir, which is about 70 miles north of Elko, Nevada. And up at Wild Horse, which is because due to elevation and exposure, their temperature is generally colder than the most of the rest of the state. And so we've got about 10 to 12 inches of good hard ice up there, whereas down in at South Fork Reservoir, which is a lower elevation, a more westerly and southerly exposed lake, we've got about 5 to 6 inches of good hard ice. And then Cave Lake down in Ely has right around 8 to 10 inches of ice. All three of them have snow on top. Snow's good and bad. The downside to snow is that it does insulate the ice from the colder nighttime temperatures, and so it does slow down the formation of the ice when the weather gets cold at night. But it also keeps it a little bit warm, colder during the day when the temperatures warm up above freezing. So it works back and forth that way.
You know, the next big question, so I wasn't going to ask you where to go, but boy, I think you really nailed that. So the ice is safe, and Teresa's going to talk about safety in the second half, but
sure.
I did want to ask, so it's ready to fish, it's ready to go out there and ready to go today, is that right?
Yes, anglers have actually been on Wild Horse for 2 or 3 weeks. They've been actually even longer than that, probably almost 3.5 weeks. South Fork has had ice fishermen on it for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Some of the early ice fishermen out there were a little bit crazier than I am because I thought it was just a little bit too thin to go out when they were first starting to go on there. Cave Lake, people are fishing, catching fish. The only place that the ice is really good but the fishing is not the best would be Wild Horse. And so the thing with Wild Horse, due to the drought, the water levels have gotten so low that we are afraid of losing the fishery for the last few years, and so we haven't stocked it for a while. And so it doesn't have as many fish in it as we would like for people to go fishing. However, those anglers that are going up there and catching fish, the trout they're catching up there are over 20 inches in length at a minimum.
Wow, big fish.
I saw some pictures on Facebook here this week of a gentleman who caught a 23 and a 26-inch trout out of Wild Horse. And he was the only two trout he caught all day, but sure makes for an exciting few minutes at the ice hole when you've got that on that small little rod and you're trying to get it through the ice.
Boy, you know, that's what I'm saying. How do you get a fish that big through the hole? I saw one on YouTube one time where a guy caught a fish, and the excitement of trying to get that fish through that tiny little hole.
You know, it depends. Most of the holes are big enough for those fish. And we'll talk more about equipment later. But the average size auger that people use to make a hole is about 8 inches, and so that allows for you to get a pretty good sized fish in there. And there's several different ways. If you're definitely keeping your fish, you can use a pike or a hook to actually, you know, snag the fish and pull it out. A lot of guys will just stick their hand all the way down into the water and grab that fish and pull it up through the hole. When you've got a fish that big, you've got to be really careful. Ice can be sharp, and so it can cut your line. And especially if you've been going up and down with a number of fish through that hole through the morning, a lot of times you'll feel the nicks on your line. So it's a good idea to cut off that bottom part of the line closest to your hook every so often so that you're using fresh line. And of course the ice fishing rods are much shorter and smaller, and often they're not as stout as a normal fishing rod. And again, you have to be careful. So a lot of guys will just actually, once they get the head up into the hole, they'll reach down and grab it by the gills with their hand and pull it on out. The water's cold, but it's only 32 degrees. It's not that cold.
Sure. So you mentioned a couple of big trout that had come out of Wild Horse. What kind of trout are there out there?
Well, what's coming out of Wild Horse right now, for the most part, is excuse me, I got a little frog in my throat, are bow cuts. It's a cross between a rainbow trout and a cutthroat trout. And so that hybridization helps them grow larger fairly quickly. Most of the trout in Wild Horse that are left are those bow cuts. South Fork will have the rainbow and the bow cuts, an occasional brown trout. And then, of course, Cave Lake is big with rainbow trout and some brook trout. And it's got some really large brown trout in it, but they don't come through the ice very often. And normally it's the smaller brown trout that come through the ice at Cave Lake.
And Cave Lake is a beautiful lake, Joe. Sell it a little bit. I mean,
I've
been up there,
lake.
And
it's,
I can't tell. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
One of the prettiest lakes, and actually the state park campground is one of the nicest state park campgrounds in the state as well. They do a really good job taking care of it. And we talk about these locations. Something to keep in mind is that the Ely Rotary Club's ice fishing derby, annual ice fishing derby, is coming up at the end of the month of January, Saturday, January 30th, out at Cave Lake. They have tagged fish in there, and they release anywhere from 15 to 25 tagged fish. If you catch one, it's automatically worth $100. And then depending if you catch the right one, it could be worth as much as $5,000.
Wow.
And it's kind of cool if you get up there and get out there on the ice. There's times they have 400 or 500 people on that lake, and I think it's about 30, 35 acres. And it's a regular village. It's kind of like what you see back east, only without the ice huts. There's really no ice huts, but people will get out there. It's a very social sport. Everybody's having fun. A lot of groups will go out in costumes that all match or all have matching hats. And so that's a great one. And then, of course, Wild Horse Trout Derby, they do that every year on President's Day weekend. And so that year, that's February 13th and 14th up at Wild Horse. So those are two places where, you know, you can go up and participate in a derby. And there's lots of other people you can always get help from at that point if you have never done it before. And so that's the nice thing about going to one of those derbies.
You know, what's the nice?
People will help you.
Another nice thing about Cave Lake, like you mentioned, it has a state park. So for someone looking for amenities, that's also a really great place to go. Like if you have kids or you have a family and you want restrooms and parking.
Absolutely.
That's one of the fantastic things about Cave Lake, even if you're not at the derby.
True.
You're not
true.
Out necessarily in the true wilderness either.
And this is going statewide. So if you're looking for a road trip and you're from Reno or Vegas.
Right.
Perfect place to go.
Very unique.
And all the lakes I've mentioned, Wild Horse, South Fork, and Cave Lake, all have state parks at each one of those. And their facilities are open year-round. And in fact, what's really cool about Wild Horse, Andrew Bass, who's a state park ranger up there, he it's fairly isolated. He's got three children. They like the outdoor sports. So one of the things he does is he builds an ice skating rink up there that's quite large, and he's kind of modified his ATV to turn it into a Zamboni, and so he's got a really nice little ice skating rink he puts up, and people can go ahead and if you're ice fishing and the kids get bored, they can go ice skating. Most of these places are also have topography that has hillsides and stuff, and right now with all the snow we have on the ground out here, you have lots of places that the kids can go sledding. They can build snowmen. It's a, like I said, it's a very social sport. My wife, who doesn't like to fish a whole lot, but still likes to go once in a while. Ice fishing is actually her favorite form of fishing because you can have 10, 15, 20 people sitting around. They're all talking. You can keep an eye on each other. It's not like you're sitting lengthwise linearly on a shoreline. You actually can be sitting in a circle and talking to each other. So it really is a lot of fun. It's a family sport. The kids can go run around and play. And, of course, once the ice gets thick enough, and again, when we talk safety later on, a lot of people will take their snowmobiles or their ATVs out on the ice as well.
You know what? Boy, I do not want to gloss over, Joe, this Nevada experience. You get you a Nevada homemade Zamboni and some sagebrush strapped to your feet, and you go ice skating. That's Nevada style.
It is. It is. And of course, the three lakes I have mentioned, there are many more out here you can ice fish on. We've got Illipaw. We've got Jake's Creek Reservoir, also known as Boyce Reservoir.
Right.
We've got Wilson Reservoir. The problems with some of those, with the snows we're having, getting in and out of them is a little more difficult. The three big ones that I've mentioned between Cave, Wild Horse, and South Fork, generally it's graded right up to the lake, and so you can drive right up to it most time, unless there's been a really fresh snow. So that's the reason I mentioned those three lakes, but there are plenty of lakes, and especially in the eastern region, where you can ice fish and get out and enjoy the beautiful weather. And people think of it as really cold, and yes, you do have to be prepared for the weather, but there's days out there where it's sunny blue skies, what we call bluebird weather. And I've been out there just in a long sleeve shirt and a pair of jeans because it's 35, 40 degrees. There's no wind. And then there's other days, and these are the days often when the fishing is actually the best. The wind is blowing, it's snowing, it's really cold. You got to hunker down. And that's when the true diehards are out. But often that is when the ice fishing is at its best. A lot of times when that front first moves through, the fish get a little more active with the barometric pressure change. So, but you can be out there in those clear blue skies and have a beautiful day out there, hot cocoa, bring stuff to munch on, and everybody has a lot of fun.
Joe, in 30 seconds, we're just about to our first break, but I had one more question, which is how are the conditions this year versus last year? We've talked about moisture, ice thickness, big difference, right?
Big difference. We have more moisture, and the ice is definitely thicker. Last year, in fact, at the Wild Horse Trout Derby, Wild Horse Reservoir had 35% open water. With the temperatures we've had, the precipitation we have, it's looking like the ice should carry through at least to the end of February.
So great conditions for ice fishing. Before our last break, I encourage you, if you ever want to go ice fishing, this year looks to be the one, so head on out. When we come back, we will ask Joe all about what you need to pack so that you don't freeze your little toes off. More right after this. You're listening to Nevada Wild Podcasting and on 630 AM Fox Sports Radio. If you enjoy Nevada Wild, feel free to leave us a positive review at iTunes. If you don't enjoy the show, we'd prefer you kept that to yourself. To learn more about hunting, angling, boating safety, and the great outdoors, check us out at ndow.org. And now, back to the show.
We're back with the second half of our show, and joining us again is Joe Doucette. He's a conservation educator in the Eastern region, and of course we are talking about ice fishing. Now, a lot of people are familiar with fishing and have fished some of these reservoirs during regular time of the year. Really, I want to get into the how-tos for ice fishing. You know, let's start off with what kind of equipment are people going to need to participate in this sport?
Well, to participate in this sport, you need much of the same gear that you would use during the summer. You need a fishing rod. You obviously need a hook or a lure at the end of the line. But you also need a way to cut a hole through the ice. And the best way to do that is with an auger. You can buy a power auger or a hand auger. As far as on the hand augers, there's two types of means of cutting through the ice. One is what we call a spoon, and it kind of looks like a big giant spoon that's got a sharp edge on it. And the other is what we call a blade auger, which has two blades on it. And as you rotate and turn the auger, it cuts through. I prefer the blade auger. You can buy these hand augers for anywhere from about $75 to $125, $150, depending on size, brand, and things like that. And with a good hand auger, the key is to keep it safe. Don't let the blades get rusty. And in about 10 inches of ice, you can cut through with an 8-inch auger, you can cut through 10 inches of ice in under 5 minutes very easily.
Okay, so it's a pretty fast process then.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't take forever. And of course, once my son left home and he was my hand auger operator, I went out and bought myself a power auger.
There you go.
and a new lawnmower, I'm sure.
Basically, it's got a small little motor at the top of it, and it powers through, and you can dig a hole through a foot and a half of ice in about 30 seconds. The difference is sometimes they don't work in the really cold weather if you haven't taken care of it. So if it doesn't work, you're kind of stuck without an auger out there. And then, of course, the other thing is that they're much heavier to carry out on the ice.
Sure. And so if it doesn't work, you've got to make
a friend.
Hand
augers are light. What I do is I keep a hand auger in the truck just in case I'm having problems with my power auger. In fact, one year I let somebody borrow it while we were out. A guy wanted to cut some holes, and he broke the pull rope, so I couldn't start anymore. And luckily, I just walked back to the truck, grabbed my hand auger. But the power augers are much more expensive. Right now, as a general rule, they're going to start around $300 and go up to about $600-$700. And so unless you're really into it, it's generally not worth that much extra money. Because like I said, you can cut a hole in less than 5 minutes through 10, 12 inches of ice. And again, like I said, the trick is keep it sharp and keep it from getting rusty. So when you're done with it, after each trip, dry it off, maybe oil it a little bit. Because once that blade gets rusty, it starts to add a lot more friction, and it takes a whole lot more work. In the state of Nevada, the largest hole you can dig through the ice in diameter, because of the for safety reasons, is a 10-inch hole. And realize, for every 2 inches you go, the difference between a 10-inch and an 8-inch hole is 40% more ice you got to cut through. So an 8-inch hole is plenty big enough to get most fish through, and it's 40% less work you have to do. So the 8-inch ice or auger is the most popular. You can buy 6-inchers augers. And those are much quicker to go through. You're doing a whole lot less cutting. But at the same time, if you do get one of these 5, 6, 7 pound trout, like you would a Wild Horse or South Fork, you really can't get it through that hole very easily. And so that's why the 8-inch is most popular. As far as your fishing rod goes, you can use your normal fishing rod, but most of those are anywhere from 4 feet to 6.5, 7 feet long. They're a little hard to work around a ice fishing hole. And so they do make special rods that range in length from about 18 inches up to 30 inches. And they come in ultralight, light, medium, heavy. And so it depends on where you're going. If you're going to Cave Lake, you know, a lightweight rod works fine because most of those fish are 12, 13, 14 inches. If you're going to Wild Horse or South Fork, you want a heavier rod. Because like I said, you can get a 6, 7, even 8, 9 pound trout through the ice there, and so if you have one of those ultralight rods, it's not going to work very well. Unfortunately, a Wild Horse, because of the drought and because of a lot of different issues, the perch population is very minimal. It used to be a real popular fishery up there, and so then you would use those ultralight rods, and because the fishing technique for perch is different than for trout, your chances of catching a trout while you were perch fishing were not that great, and so you could deal with that. And most of those fishing rods will range anywhere from about $15 up to about $35, and that includes the reel and often includes a line. For the line, you're going to want a special line made specifically for cold weather. It stays limp and flexible in the really cold weather, whereas traditional monofilament often will be very stiff in this extremely cold weather. So it comes with a special line on it. And, of course, you're going to want most lures that will work on the end. A lot of people will fish with just power bait or with worms. Put them on a number 8, a number 10, or a number 12 hook. Take your preference, and they'll use that. Other people will jig through the ice, and that's actually quite popular. And often you will catch larger fish jigging, and there are special jigs made specifically for ice fishing.
So, Joe,
So you can buy those mm-hmm. either online or even a lot of local tackle stores will carry them. Even in Reno, I've seen ice fishing jigs and ice fishing equipment at a lot of the outdoor sporting goods stores in Reno. And I know in Elko, most of them do carry it as well.
For people that are less familiar, what's the jig?
The jig is, you can use something as simple as what you use during the summer. One of the little lead head jig with a soft plastic grub tail like a Mr. Twister that just adds some movement. All you're doing is, because it's vertical fishing, instead of casting a long ways out in front of you, you're actually fishing straight up and down through the ice hole. You're actually jigging that lure up and down,
right,
and
to attract the fish.
The movement of it catches the attention of the fish that
gotcha.
are that are swimming around. And then what's really kind of cool about ice fishing that I didn't mention earlier, because you are able to get out on the water, you can often reach places that you couldn't reach if you're fishing from shore. And so you can sit out there and find those little hidey holes.
Yeah, where those fish are hiding out.
Right. And then, of course, you want something, the water in your ice fishing hole will often start to freeze over. So a slotted spoon, like you would use for vegetables, can be used to keep that clear. But they do make very specific ice fishing spoons for keeping that clear as well. Some people actually drop just a little bit of Wesson oil or a vegetable oil in the hole, and that actually helps keep it from freezing as well. So that can be done. Your typical baits are power baits, salmon eggs, worms. Those are your basic typical baits that you'll use through the ice fishing hole. And then most people will bring a sled to pull their gear out there onto the ice with them. Just pull it behind your regular child's sled will work, the plastic ones. They do make very specific sleds for ice fishing that have taller sides. They're black, and you can carry more stuff in them. And then they tip up on end, and you can use them as a windbreak while you're fishing. I carry a folding camp chair. I do like to carry safety gear, which we'll talk about in just a second, but one of the things is a Type 4 throwable PFD that you carry. It's great because you can use it to kneel on so your knees don't get wet when you're working down trying to put things through the ice fishing hole. So that works well, but it's also something you can throw to somebody if for some reason they find a thin patch of ice and accidentally fall through the ice.
So the PFD works.
Hot coffee, hot cocoa, something to drink, something to eat, munchies, goes a long ways towards keeping everybody really happy. And then, of course, sunblock is huge because not only are you getting sun from the sky, but it's reflecting off the ice, even worse than off the water when you're fishing. And, of course, you can get sunburned very, very quickly, especially our high-elevation lakes. I mean, you look at Cave Lake and Wild Horse are above 6,000 feet in elevation. Air's thinner, and so the sun has much more of an impact. As far as safety gear, some of the things to think about, first of all, never go on the ice if it's 2 inches or less. We recommend 4 inches. And even with 4 inches, if you're going to be ice fishing, don't have people too close together when it's only 4 inches thick. Personally, I don't like to go on a lake until it's about 6 inches thick, and 6 inches is plenty safe. And when we talk thickness of ice, we're talking the good, hard, clear ice. If it's gray or porous looking, that ice is not very strong. It's that good, hard, clear ice that has the most strength.
So once it hits
about 8-10 inches, you could take a snowmobile or a ATV out there. But again, you got to be real careful. If it does go through the ice, you are responsible for the removal of it from those public waters, and it can get quite expensive. I know that some guys put two sleds through the ice up at Wild Horse 1 year. Cost them about $6,000 to get them pulled out.
Right.
So make sure there's plenty of ice when that happens.
But how do people know the thickness of the ice?
Well, first of all, at least out here on the more popular waters, we put it in our fishing report, which is available at ndow.org. It's also available. My fishing report out here also is in the Elko Daily Free Press, or their website as well. So those are two places you can go to look for thickness. The other thing is, if you get to a lake that's not in there, people will go, say, to Boyce Reservoir, and you get about 4 feet from shore, and you drill a hole, and you see how thick it is there. And if it's 5-6 inches or more, then, go out a little ways.
Then
and often you'll
go.
See other people on the ice as well once you get there. And so that's, again, the fishing report is a really good way to start off. Often at these state parks, if you call the state park itself, the rangers that work there can also give you that information.
Oh, great.
And then so we're talking 4 inches minimum. I like 6 or 7. Lakes like Cave Lake, Illapaw, Wild Horse, their lake ice thickness is generally very stable all the way through. South Fork, for whatever reason, and I'm not sure why, it can be 8 inches one place and 4 inches another. So you do have to be a little careful at South Fork, and that's one of the reasons why I won't go on South Fork if there's less than 6 inches of ice. And so you do have to be kind of careful with that. People say, well, where on the lake do I go? And I tell them, well, look where there's a lot of ice fishing holes. Normally the locals do know where to go, and they're catching fish there.
That's
and
true.
So that's a really good place to start if you're brand new.
If you're brand new to it.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's the ice thickness part of it. Something that people don't realize, probably the number one cause for injury ice fishing is slipping and falling. And so to me, carrying a crampon or some type of cleats that you can attach to your boots is really important. I have bad knees, so I have own a pair even just for when I shovel snow in front of my house. And so that's really important to have, is something to keep you from slipping. And then we also tell people to carry a set of ice claws. And what these are, it's like about a half-inch dowel or a broomstick-type dowel. And there's a nail or a spike that comes out of the end. You can buy them in a store, or you can make your own. And generally, you have one for each hand. And there's 3 to 4 feet of rope that ties them together. And so before you head out onto the lake, you slip them down through each sleeve, and they hang down. And the idea is that if you do go through the ice, the ice is very slippery. You often can't get a grip on the ice to get out. So then you have these claws by your hands. You can grab them. You can stick them. It's like an ice pick. You can stick it into the ice to help pull yourself out.
Okay.
Well, we only have about 30 seconds left, okay. Joe. So if you would, any final words, your one big piece of advice in 30 seconds or less, and if they want to find out more, where can they go?
Well, if they want to find out more, you can go to ndow.org, and we've got some information up there. They can also give me a call out here in the Eastern region at 775-777-2300. I'm the only Joe in the office. And, of course, my one suggestion is just get out and try it. It's a lot of fun. Find somebody who does it and have them coach you through it and use some of their gear so you don't invest a lot until after you find out if you like it.
That is some good advice, and we appreciate it. It is all the time we have for today. I want to thank you again, Joe Doucette out of Elko, for joining us. As he mentioned, check the Nevada Department of website at ndow.org to learn all about hunting, fishing, boating, and outdoor recreation of every kind. You're listening to Nevada Wild on 630 AM Fox Sports Radio and podcasting across the state. Join us next week or find us online at NevadaWild.org.
Join us again next week for our next adventure, Nevada Wild. It's a production of the Nevada Department of Wildlife.